What do you think of that?
I think that's totally gay.
Type in monkey dick in the Yahoo podcast search, and we come up number one. That's right.
Here's what I'm going to say in retort, in rebuttal.
Yeah, your ass called, and he says, stop sticking cocks in it.
Sword. Sword fight.
Sword.
Yeah, I had like a fluid-filled pus ball.
Am I keeping you up? Sorry.
No, I was...
Shut up.
Well, and I couldn't agree with more with Dr.
Tooth Fairy John, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny.
You even pay attention to your own crap.
I listen to my own crap.
I do listen.
You're
not. You just yap, and you don't even listen to it.
I do.
I listen.
So if you're ever looking for our podcast, type in Monkey Dick. You're listening to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And
wow.
And that's a train wreck.
This is episode 50-something.
Maybe we should just call it the ad hoc episode.
It is. It's the ad fucked up. We got a special announcement to make, Scott.
We do?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this will not be episode 52. This will be the ad hoc episode.
This is the ad hoc special announcement episode.
Special announcement episode.
I wanted to wait until now to tell you this.
That's outstanding.
Are you ready?
Well, hold on. We have a guest with us.
Oh, right. We have Professor Tom from Kinky Sex Radio.
Good evening, guys.
Where are you, Professor Tom?
I'm in North Olmsted, which is Cleveland.
North Olmsted, Cleveland.
Yeah, and Professor North Olmsted,
Tom,
Ohio.
You're touring with the CDC?
Something
right?
like that, yeah.
Doing some juggling, and how's that going?
Really good. It's great. I get to go out and play all day in the sun.
And you meet some new people?
Yeah, I'm touring with two other folks.
Make some good connections, network connections for future
Not
work?
Not really. Mostly I'm just entertaining children.
I see.
Wow.
So like I said, good connections for like 14 years from now when they're big wig producers in Hollywood.
And it's good pay.
Oh, yeah, it's great
Keeps
money.
You busy.
And I got a tan.
Oh,
nice.
That's
so, you
nice.
Know, bonus.
A tan in Cleveland.
Yeah, and I'm the only one.
That's out of sight.
They think I'm Mexican now.
Well, do you want to hear the announcement?
I would love to hear
it's
the announcement.
Big
do we
surprise.
Have special music before the special ad hoc TTN announcement?
Yeah, that's it. That's the announcement is we are not going to be on Sirius. That's it.
That's a shame.
I'm stunned.
But the good news is the door's still open if XM is listening.
That is shocking news.
That is shocking news.
Shocking.
But we know. We
and
know.
You heard
who
it here
is.
First.
But guess what?
What?
Mediocre show has made it to Sirius Radio.
Mediocre
I heard
show.
That.
Now, John, you say they're doing 2 hours a night.
I believe so. I don't know for sure. I didn't email them, but we want to dedicate this show.
The mediocre show.
Because they made it, man.
They made it.
And we didn't. So, here we are. Friday night. I'm a bachelor. The wife and kids are in Arizona. We got a gig tomorrow night. I got to fucking pack. I got to work tomorrow. And we got Professor Tom, who we haven't talked to in fucking 2 months.
Because he's
line.
On the road.
That's right.
Yep.
He is on the road.
Well, I've been trying to hook up the Skype and everything for the last, I don't know, couple of weeks since we did Podcast 50. And it's been a mess. My shit's been acting up. Literally, my ass. Your shit's been acting up. Your bloody ass. Scott, are you there?
I am.
Do I get
I'm
your
just
mic
so
on?
Shocked at the announcement.
Yeah, I thought for sure we were broadcasting over Sirius for a minute there.
I'm still reeling from that TTN special announcement.
Did that hurt?
No, it doesn't hurt. It's just so shocking.
Yeah, well, sorry about that. We are, yeah. They
well,
made it.
Yeah, I am so happy for those guys. I've only listened to one or two of their episodes, but I've listened to a lot of other podcasts, and I'm glad it was those guys.
Oh, no doubt.
Because if it was some of these other fucking podcasts I listened to, I'd be really pissed off, John. I'd be pissed.
Can you imagine that crybaby emo kids on Sirius?
Jesus Christ. Well, I'm wondering why they haven't signed Punky yet. Is it a UK thing? Is Sirius just in the States, or are they global?
They're satellite.
It's satellite, but, like, for instance, iTunes has the America version. They have the UK version. They have the...
Well, they got to be able to uplink.
Uplink. Yes, and they have to have the hardware, John, the hardware.
They got to bounce it off.
Bounce it off something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your head would be good if we could put your head in Obert.
Obert.
And, yeah. And then
they put Obert in orbit.
Then I could do your biopic.
Right. No doubt.
So anyway, we have no comments.
What do you mean we have no comments? How could that be?
Wait a minute. Let me see.
You sound like an offended Southern woman.
Nobody commented? How dare them, John?
No.
Lords almighty, I do declare.
No. No. Lords almighty.
Lords. I do believe I have the vapors.
No comments, man.
We don't have any comments, but we have other announcements, John. Listen, like you mentioned earlier, we have a big gig tomorrow.
Just to keep us on the front page on PCA, I got to go in there and just keep writing something to get it up there.
That's
cool.
I have
to compete with Phlegm Livet.
Phlegm Livet?
Yeah.
We don't have comments, but we have announcements. We have a big gig tomorrow in the Chicagoland area. Because we are a band, John.
And tomorrow will be actually yesterday.
Tomorrow will be yesterday, yes, because by the time you hear this...
It's very metaphysical, man.
We'll have already played.
Let me just put it this way. Tomorrow will be yesterday at some point.
If you're listening to this, we will have had been playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how we'll do.
Did you like our live tunes we played at the bar at McBride's?
I loved them.
It was awesome.
Oh, were you talking
really
to me?
Cool.
Oh, I was talking to Professor Tom. Sorry.
Hey, bass player, did you enjoy the live
tunes?
Yeah,
that's how
played?
I would address it to you.
Bass player.
That's what he is. He's the bass player. Did you hear the last one? The review of Brokeback, Professor Tom?
Yes, I did.
That has got to be the best fucking movie review I've ever heard in my life.
I give that movie review 5 Spiny Normans.
Yeah, no shit, man. That was the funniest goddamn movie
review. We're
now
reviewing the review. It's metaphysical, man. I'm telling you, brother.
Oh, I don't know about... Please do that voice again, Scott.
What's that voice, John? Which one do you...
I don't know if I'm ready for that kind of stuff.
I merely missed it, John.
Man, it's like Jake Gyllenhaal's in the room, isn't it?
I'm Jack Twister's friend.
Actually, I was portraying Heath Ledger there, Professor Tom. Come on, get with it.
No,
you always
weren't.
Mix those two up.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal was much more articulate as a hick than Heath Ledger.
Enos, I loves you.
Well, I saw another movie.
What'd you see?
I saw Capote.
Oh, that's another gay movie.
Well, you know, I was watching it, and I said to the wife, because we watch both of these movies, I said, oh, well, I got to back up and give you a little Capote. Truman Capote, he was an author. He wrote Breakfast at Tiffany's. And then his greatest work was In Cold Blood.
So
he was reading a newspaper article, and he read about four people in some small farm town that were murdered. They all had a shotgun blast to the head. So he went and he got involved in the story, and then they caught the killers. There were two guys.
Wasn't Robert Blake in that movie?
Robert Blake was in the In Cold Blood movie that came out in 1960-something. And that's what made Robert Blake a star, other than the Little Rascals. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
is it what made him kill?
I'm not sure about that. I think the Little Rascals is what made him kill.
You don't think it was the parrot?
So
it's a cockatoo.
Capote. Oh,
it's a cockatoo.
Got so involved with the story and with the killer, Perry, that there was... Let me just put it to you this way, John. I told you about Brokeback Mountain. I told you the love story was so goddamn unbelievable between these two. There was no chemistry. It was all about humping.
Right.
When you watch this movie, Capote, this guy, Philip Seymour Hoffman, makes his relationship with a murderer more believable than Brokeback Mountain.
Really?
Did he win the award? He should have won the award.
I don't know.
He did, didn't he?
He won something, yeah.
Did you guys ever see Capote when he was alive?
No.
Yes.
I saw him on Johnny Carson all the time. He was on Johnny Carson. And I didn't know who he was. I had no idea when I was watching him who he was.
Yeah.
But he was an odd character, John.
like Tiny Tim?
What I remember from Johnny Carson is Truman Capote, Liberace, and Ladka Gravis. Andy Kaufman. When he did that. I do remember her, yeah. With the big boobs. But that's it. These eccentrics. And Truman Capote was one of them. I had no idea who he was. But, you know, as I grew up, then I learned about...
You heist to look at my big Truman Capote.
Another interesting thing about Capote is he hung out with this woman, Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. And she never wrote anything before or after To Kill a Mockingbird. And there's a theory that Truman Capote wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, and he gave it to her.
Oh.
But then there's another theory that says he's so egocentrical. Is that a word?
Ego.
Yeah, he's got such an ego. He's got such an ego that...
It's a word and a half.
He would never have let that happen because that actually won the Pulitzer Prize, John.
Hey, just for the record, winner actor in a leading role, Philip Seymour Hoffman for Capote.
There you go.
There we go.
And he should have.
I got his acceptance speech here, too.
Professor Tom vetting the awards. Do you? How long is it?
Too long to really read, because most of it's like, I'd like to thank other great actors, fantastic actors. He names them. He kind of goes through them. I love you. You know, Van Morrison song, I love, he keeps repeating it like that. He kind of babbles a bit. It sounds as though he's improvising. He loves his mom.
Oh, well.
And you know, he does not thank Jesus or God, just for the record.
Excellent.
No thanks to any deity at all, unless you count mom as a deity.
Now, Professor Tom and John, I can't recommend this movie to everybody. I just can't do it.
Who should not?
People who should see it are interested in writing, are interested in history. Like, I was interested because I knew about Truman Capote before I saw this movie. And it drew me right in. Just the Philip Seymour Hoffman's characterization of Capote was spot on from what I remembered from The Tonight Show. And then this whole relationship he had with this killer. And the whole movie builds up to he pretty much writes his entire book. He's got it all complete, except he hasn't asked the killer about the fateful night. November 14th, 1959, when the murders actually happened. And his publisher is on, hey, when are we going to finish the book? You got to get the stuff. You got to go ask him. Okay. So he asks him, finally. And the guy's like, he doesn't want to tell him right away. But then he does tell him. So it has a great climax where he's telling him what actually happened that night. And they show scenes as he's narrating of what's going on. But the fascinating thing about that scene is Truman Capote is lying his ass off to this guy the entire time. The guy keeps asking him, how's the book going? Well, I really haven't written anything yet. I'm still working on it. But that's not true. He's almost finished it. He's titled it. He's even read it in public.
Do you get an idea of why he's lying?
You get an idea he's manipulating this guy the whole time. Mm. To get what he needs out of it, to get his story. So he lies the whole time, and then when he asks the guy to tell him about that night, the guy tells him. And my thought was, is he telling the truth or is he lying? Because he's had 4 years to think about this. And his story may be skewed to make him look not as cold-blooded as one would seem.
Yeah. He fell in love with him.
Right. They were in love because when he got executed, Capote broke down. He couldn't handle it. And it really, after that, he didn't produce any other work after that book. Nothing. All he did was have parties, and he got addicted to drugs. He became an alcoholic, and he went on The Tonight Show. That's all he did.
Wow.
And it was, I think it was because of that experience, because he fell in love with this guy, and the guy was executed right in front of him.
Wow. That was the first hanging I ever saw, like, not real, but I mean in a movie form, in school.
In school?
In school. In high school, they showed that, they showed that movie in one of our, like, a creative writing class.
Oh, In Cold Blood.
Yeah.
With Robert Blake.
Yeah.
Right.
And they showed the hanging part, and it was kind of disturbing. It was very Hitchcockian.
Well, a couple of other things. Capote is contributed. They give him credit for the nonfiction novel, for the telling
right, the
of
true
a
crime novel.
Right. He was the first one to come up with that concept. And
what are the killers' names? I got to see if it's in my serial killer trading card set.
Perry something. He did all the killing. The other guy talked him into it. He's like, yeah, we can't leave any witnesses.
I have the
well, that's according to Perry's story, but you don't know if he's lying his ass off, too. He could be lying, too. You don't know.
Right.
Because Truman Capote's lying through his teeth to this guy to get the information he needs. You don't know, John.
Right.
You just don't
right.
know. Who knows? I don't know.
I have the set right here. In front of me. Did I tell you that?
The set of serial killer cards. No, you've told me you have it. You didn't tell me it was in front of you.
Oh, yeah, I have it right in front of me.
Right
John Wayne
in front
Gacy.
Of you.
You carry them around with
number
you?
Number 60, yeah. Number 67. Jeffrey Dahmer, he's number 76.
What's the bubblegum taste like that comes with those cards?
It's really bloody.
It's nasty, I can imagine.
Actually, 76, Jeffrey Dahmer, the same number is Scott's score on the Machiavellian test.
76.
Yeah, Ted nice. Bundy.
Out of 100?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That means he's hardcore Machiavelli. He should be right up there with the Bush regime.
Hey, you fucker. We talked about this last show. Do not compare me. Give me every attribute that a Machiavellian has. Arrogance.
You're glib.
Glib. I'm a lying son of a bitch, but do not compare me with the chimp in office.
Okay, more like
I find
Clinton.
That offensive.
You're more like Clinton.
There you go. I'll take that. What is, it depends on what is, John.
You're getting
laid
with a chick, right, instead
what
of the turd blossom.
What is, yes.
What is. What are these dudes' names?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, John.
You did not?
I did not. Perry uh-huh. somebody and John somebody. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. That's not important.
It wasn't Starkweather and Fugate? Oh, no, that's
no.
a chick.
So out of four,
it looks like a guy.
Out of four Spiny Normans, I give this movie 3 Spiny Normans.
Wow,
Jod, 3 of them.
That's heavy, man.
The other thing about Capote is he wasn't one of these closet homosexuals. He was right out in the open.
Yeah. Really,
which is admirable, John.
Yeah, because
even
not?
In this day and age, you got these closet guys. They're closet guys, but then they get into politics and then they try to take.
Then they bash the whole.
Then they bash the whole homo community while they're in the closet.
Yeah, look at that one mayor, man. He did that.
Yeah.
And allegedly he abused Cub Scouts when he was a sheriff.
All right. Well, those are two different things. That's pedophile, John.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Right. Yeah, but he was going after, you're right. You're right. I fucked up. He was going after 17-year-old young boys and shit like that on the internet.
Using the
government computer.
All right, so Professor Tom, you're on the road. You're in somewhere outside of Cleveland.
Right.
What's next?
Northern edge of Cleveland, I believe.
For kinkysex.com.
I'm back in town Sunday night.
Sunday night.
So we'll record a show and have it in the feed this week. Got a brand new studio that'll come in, maybe not on this next podcast, but
what?
This week. Yeah, I've got a new mixer, new mics. New,
nice.
Same location. New equipment.
Same location.
What kind
Finishing
of mics?
What I wanted, yeah. The Behringer B2, same ones you guys
Nice.
Need. I got a Mackie DFX 12 channel.
I got to tell you, the one-on-one, man, it's like, Professor Tom, one-on-one.
This is Professor
this
Tom.
This is Professor Tom.
One-on-one, yes.
Yeah, I'm using those MXLs, which aren't bad, but I mean, yeah, you'll definitely hear a difference. And then the mixer, and then, just some other, about a bunch more mics and mic stands, because I'm going to start a local music podcast in the next couple of months. And be able to do a round table sort of thing. So, yeah, it's just going to be, yeah, I'm just kind of finishing the studio that
round
I wanted.
Local music,
ago.
Which I'm sure will feature a kangaroo court, John.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we are local music, aren't we? Because
yeah,
we are a band.
Yeah. Well, if you want help with that, if we can find the time, you said Friday nights, right? Whoa! Music's a little loud.
What is this, the Crybaby Emo Kid Show?
Shut up! Mr. Really cool fucker.
Yeah, that's right. I really like this song
yeah,
a lot.
It's a good song. Oh,
Tom
can't hear it.
I think this song.
Here, can you hear it now, Tom?
On a level.
Can you hear the music bed?
I like to write. What is it? What is it, Paulie said? I like to write my diary in dolphin blood.
Yeah.
I know, we keep giving them material every week to do their show. Next week, they're going to feature Duty.
Duty!
I don't know if I should slip my wrists or dye my hair.
Feces, Duty.
No,
poopy.
No, wait, no. It's feces, poopy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about
Come
duty.
On, you don't even know the song? You
Come
wrote
on,
it!
Bass player!
Yeah, you wrote it, bass player. Yeah,
Learn
tomorrow.
The lyrics.
Tomorrow's the big night, man. We're we had
Are you
some
performing feces poopy live.
We could between sets, but we do have.
We're gonna fling them like Gigi Allen, the toilet rocker.
Ah, yes.
Have you ever heard of that guy?
I know Gigi Allen. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a Chicago rocker that.
Oh, not the punk rock.
Yeah. He said he used to piss on the crowd and stuff and shit
and throw it at him.
Yeah, he used to also masturbate on him. Yeah, he came to New Orleans. I saw him play. He ran through the audience. He shit on himself.
Suck his Blaze player's dick. Blaze player.
And his bass player.
I never seen him. Never seen him.
I never done seen him, John.
Oh, can you? Is there video?
Yeah. He's a bald guy with the smallest dick you've ever seen. Yeah. I'm not kidding. You'll see. It's like a baby schmeckle.
I got to check that out.
That explains a lot.
He's hung
it
like
does.
An infant?
Oh, yeah.
How long is his ring finger?
Oh, I heard that. You know, my ring finger is longer than my index finger.
Really?
John, aren't you hung like an infant?
Yeah, I'm hung like an infant.
How so?
18 inches, 9.5 pounds.
Nice.
You like that? You like that?
The problem is it also drools.
Yeah. I have a drooling infant cock. You know, we had to do some augmentations to our practice studio because the cops came last Thursday.
Oh, yeah. We forgot
we
to talk about that.
We got busted by fucking Chris Farley and David Spade. It was pretty funny. Remember that, Scott?
I remember.
It was pretty funny. We're cranking Melt With You. You know that tune?
Yeah. Big Audio Dynamite? No.
No. American English? Or not American English. Modern English.
Modern English.
And we do like kind of a punked up version of it. And we're cranking away. And all of a sudden, and we got these new lights that Rick and I picked up that... they flash to the music, and they're like strobes, and we got all the colors going and everything. And, you know, we're trying to do the pseudo freak fest while we're jamming, get into the mood, you know. And I see the door open, these two flashlights shining in, and we just stop instantly.
What, they showing it like it was a Scooby-Doo mystery or something?
Yeah, right, right. So they shine the lights in, but Rick doesn't kind of stop right away because the cop lights are going on top of their squad cars. And they're flashing in the room, and he's like, yeah! And then he stops. He notices, he sees the guy's head peek around the corner. And I get up and walk over to the cop, and the guy looks kind of like Chris Farley. And I said, hey, man, it's not us. It's the guys down there. And he goes, oh, okay. And they start walking that way. And then he goes, ah, just kidding. Turns around, and they still got the lights going. And he says, yeah, man. Man, you were so loud, we could hear you two blocks away, man. And you
he said it like it was a great thing.
Yeah, he goes, well, kind of. They were pretty cool about it.
Well, he recognized the song and the band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're playing Melt With You, and we can hear two blocks away. And we get here, and we're pounding on the door, and you're not answering. So I hit the air horns. So he's hitting the siren outside. And the other guy's going, I'm covering my ears because they're bleeding from the siren and shit. And we're thinking, okay, what are the fucking neighbors thinking now with the cops there with the lights going, boo, 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 boo. And I'm like, what? Dudes, man, what?
It never occurred to them to open the door.
No, I said the door is open. No, it was hard to do. We finally figured it out. You know, I was thinking, what are they going to do next time? Kick it in?
I guess plan A was to try and get a block party going. Plan B was to look in and make the band stop playing.
But they were cool about it. But what we found out is this other bunch of guys that have a studio down in the corner, they have a band too. The Aphrodisiacs and the Spasmatics. And they're down there jamming, and they stopped when the cops came. So the cops leave, and the one guy shows up and says, hey, man, what happened? We said, well, the cops came. They said we were too loud. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Wow, that sucks. Yeah, well, it turns out he's got to pull down all of his soundproofing stuff because the fire department, fire marshal, came to his place because I think he's registered. He's got a business license. So they came and looked at his place and told him to take all the stuff that I told him to put on his walls. So he spent all this time and money to put all the shit on the walls, and the fire marshal told him to take it down. But then they started jamming again, and I'm thinking, God damn it. I wonder if it's them they called on, because they were fucking loud. So Scott and I went there Monday and reinforced the door with all kinds of foam and stuff, and I finished it up.
I was just there. John did everything.
Yeah.
I was just keeping John company. He's the handyman.
Yeah, I'm the
moral support.
I'm no handyman, that's for sure. I'm just a micromanager. Here, Scott, hand that. No, fuck it. I'll just do it. Just the stuff I couldn't reach, I needed Scott for. So we got it all shored up and you know, worked out this last practice. What the fuck is that? What are you doing?
Sorry.
What the fuck? Are you in the shitter?
No.
Sounded like you're opening some blinds.
I hit the blinds to close the blinds. Oh. The sorry. My creation is alive. I'm down here in the lab.
But, yeah, the other, what was it? Yesterday we jammed. No cops. We get done. Open the door. And we can hear, she's a brick.
House
down the way, and
they're
fucking louder than shit.
The acoustic set.
Yeah, no, they were jamming real loud. I mean, they're really good.
Scott just now.
Oh yeah, he's a acapella
no
genius.
No doubt. Well, the thing is, we blocked up all our windows, everything. Now, and you took care of the door. They don't have any of that shit. It just comes right out their door, right out their windows.
Amateurs.
They're much louder than us now.
So I'm thinking we're getting busted because of them.
Right.
So this next time, I think when the cops come, we'll just say, look, dudes, you got to just cool it with the fucking lights. hang out.
Yeah, and, say and, that to the cops. That'll be awesome.
And listen to... Well, what
cool
the fuck?
Cool it with the lights,
well, why,
would you?
Why do they... Well, yeah. I'm gonna say, what are they going to do, arrest me? Oh, yes. You're under arrest for saying cool it with the lights.
Yes, you should read the Patriot Act.
That's well,
a,
that's true.
Well, come on. It's a goddamn emergency cool that there's a disturbance.
Like,
they got to send two squads with their lights blaring and start hitting the air horn.
Yeah.
Hey, you're lucky they didn't have a SWAT team kicking the door.
No
and
shit,
some
man.
Gas.
Holy fuck. Shot. Scott got shot.
Charlie Alpha Tango. Go, go, go.
Unbelievable.
We have a jam in progress. We're going to need backup.
Hey, were you guys playing at Prairie Avenue a couple weeks back is what he asked us. No. We're playing
what, huh?
Here with all the lights going off. You know, we're thinking they're going to walk in. The last time they came, Scott says on the mic, hide the pot.
Really oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, we're...
I didn't think it was the coppers.
Cops right. Love a pot joke.
I didn't think it was the fuzz.
He didn't think it was the fuzz, and we got the incense burning and everything. And I opened the door a crack, and the cop's like, can we come in? Oh, yeah. I opened the door. He walks in there, shine the light around at everybody's eyes. Rick's got a fucking cowboy hat on, sitting on the couch.
We got the black lights going.
Black lights and everything.
And with a lava
everything
lamp.
Everything but a joint.
Yeah, right. The cop's like saying, you know, you got to turn it down. I said, well, before you go, would you like to hear anything? We could play some Police. We'll play some Police for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then it was crickets right there. It was like... When I said, well, we can play some Police. Yeah, just keep
right,
it down, yeah, assholes.
Sure.
We'll fucking shoot you.
We got to go now.
Yeah, it was
we
insane.
Don't want to come back.
It was insane.
God.
Unbelievable.
I've never had the cops call them. Then again, we always rehearsed it like a U-Haul place or something. So
yeah.
Out in the sticks. Nobody would, no, there's all that was around was your furniture and other bands.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the one time the cops should have shown up was the Professor Tom Jam, John.
That would have been a mercy.
Just
for me.
40.
Just for my drumming.
They would have hauled your
ass
out of there.
You
got to
send me that file just so I can hear how horrible
oh,
we were.
Yeah, I will. I have it here somewhere.
We have to redo it so we can save face.
It's a nightmare.
Is it that bad?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's so bad I haven't even listened to it. I don't even want to listen to it.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it. It'd be awesome.
Where did I put it? Yeah, I got it here somewhere.
Well, you got a guitar player on drums. You got a drunk drummer on guitar and a drunk bass player on bass. So, yeah, that can't be good.
Yeah, when was that? How long ago was that?
That was episode 40. 40, I think.
I thought I sent that to you, Scott, didn't I?
Yeah, but I didn't listen to it.
No, you're scared.
I'm afraid.
You're fucking scared.
I'm scared.
Scared, okay. Little boy. Scared. I'm going to have to give you some Enos. So who was the driver in that movie, I want to know?
Enos was the driver.
Enos was pitching.
He was the pitcher.
Jake Gyllenhaal
was the catcher.
Jake was the catcher? Didn't
Jake
see
was the catcher. Heath
was
Ledger was the driver. But the reluctant driver.
So did
I guess
they
it's
actually,
the silent ones, huh?
Did they show a mountain?
The quiet guys.
Well, I told you about the first scene. Jake flips over on all fours, and Enos knows what to do.
Oh, man, that's right.
He
but
does the belt,
sure,
he does the pants, and then he holds it and jams it in.
They showed Woo. Him holding it?
Yeah. Well, no. They didn't show him holding it. You don't see any genitals.
Did
but.
You go,
It's the acapella soundboard, ladies and gentlemen.
That has got to be the funniest goddamn movie review I've ever heard in my goddamn life. I was dying every time wow. I hear it. It was killing me.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was good.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
And that was
me,
the last movie
me,
we saw.
Fuck me. Fuck
there.
Me. Fuck me. Fuck me.
I haven't
me.
Seen.
Fuck
anything
you. Fuck
that.
Me. Fuck me.
Fuck you, asshole.
Yeah, it was.
What are you two doing? I can't tell.
Oh, I was playing.
Fuck me, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me, fuck me.
Oh, God.
Fuck me, fuck me.
Stop whining.
Fuck me, fuck me.
Dickhead.
That's all.
Dickhead. Nice.
So, yeah, we're here at the studio on a Friday night, the home studio, with Professor Tom.
Home studio. We have some TTN listeners coming in for the gig tomorrow, which you've promised to give them a tour of the studio. And I'm thinking, which studio? Because
I did?
Yeah, you mentioned that on the last podcast. And when I talked to somebody today who Lori is staying at her house, she said Lori is really excited about getting the tour of the studio.
Really? Uh-oh.
And I'm thinking
the big tour of the big gigantic studio.
You know what you got to do, John? You got to rent a studio for a day. Like a proper radio studio.
I'm just going to take her to the mall.
To the mall?
Radio Shack?
You know, we just walk back those all those back halls. It was here yesterday. Wait a minute. Let's try this door. No, that's not it.
Well, I was thinking if we take her to where we practice, it'll be empty. Because we're going to load up to go over for the gig. You know?
It's an empty room. This is where the magic happens.
This is where the magic
is. This is it. Yes.
Well, the studio's here, actually, now.
Now. Except, you know, when we have a lot of people in.
Yeah.
Which, and then, you know, we did the remote at McBride's. That was...
Yeah, you almost blew it again. You blew it.
I didn't blow it.
You fucker.
We did the remote and at McBride's, which you did a fabulous job. And not only for your production work behind the scenes, but also the production work of setting something like that up was...
The logistics on it's amazing.
Right, the logistics. He set up the band mics, and then he set up the stage mics for the podcast.
Well,
we had five microphones plus a mic out in the audience. And,
right.
Yeah. Well, you know why I do it myself is just that nobody else knows what to do. Nobody knows what to do because I'm actually, when it's something like that, I have to ad lib the whole thing. I have to wing it. There's no like, I can't like.
There's no manual.
Well, I can't delegate anything because, right, there's no manual. And we haven't played enough gigs in the past year or two. So that we always repeat the same steps every time. Once we start doing that, everybody's going to know what their job is, setting up mics and whatnot.
Yeah, the roadies will be able to really tech it for you.
Well, what was great about having five guys in a band set up was a snap.
Yeah,
now we only got three.
You need an intern.
And what's funny, with a three-piece band, we got way more fucking equipment than we ever had with the five guys in the band.
The way it is, yeah.
It's those fucking subwoofers.
I love
subwoofers. I got a topic for you guys.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that HBO show Big Love?
No.
No.
Oh, you got to see it. It's awesome. It's really good. Not quite Sopranos, but it's good.
What is it?
You don't know what it is? It's about a Mormon polygamist. He's got three wives and, I don't know, let's see, two, four, six, seven kids. And, you know, polygamy, forget this, polygamy is illegal in Utah. Now, I don't mean that he's married to all three women. He's married to one, and he's pretending, he's spiritually married. So he's pretending to be married to two others.
And that's illegal.
Yeah, he's legal every other night, you know, every third night, blah, blah, blah. But this is what gets me. That's illegal in Utah. So you can live with a woman. That's cool. You can knock her up and have kids. That's fine. But if you're married to one woman and she knows about the other woman, you can't. So they're basically like two mistresses, but according to the Mormon church, they're married. You understand?
Yeah, right.
But he didn't try and go get married to all three of them, so he's not a proper polygamist.
Yeah.
But what he's doing is illegal, and that blew my mind. I'm like, how many laws do we need?
Doesn't blow my mind at all, because here's what it tells me, Professor Tom, separation of church and state.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The state says you can only marry one person. The church says get married as many times as you want.
Right. Well, no, in this case, the state is actually saying that you can't cheat on your wife even if your wife's okay with it. The state's meddling in your business.
Right.
But they do it with gay marriage, too. I don't understand why two guys can't get married, but me and my wife could.
Well, because they're using the Ten Commandments as, you know, if you say, God damn it, you're going to get
the chair. Scott shall not lay with John. Which commandment was that?
That's not a commandment, you knucklehead. That's in the epistles
it's
of Paul.
It's a bumper sticker, though. It's a bumper sticker.
Paul's epistles to Corinthians or something.
I think that was one of the 15. That was like number 13 right. that got lopped off.
My favorite thing is they found that book of Judas. It says Judas was you know, in a backdoor deal with Christ and all that. And I love pointing that out to Catholics going, man, if we're wrong about that, imagine what else in the Bible right. might be inaccurate.
Well, if you...
Man, every, that really... And get them thinking, go, man, that really... Wow. If there's no telling what's wrong in that thing.
If anybody notices during Moses, he went through two sets of tablets. The first set, he smashed on the golden calf. So there was right. actually 20 commandments. Or did he just rewrite the... God damn
and
it.
See, on the first set, the first commandment was like, be groovy, dude.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you know what? Screw that. No groovy dude for you.
Second
and
commandment.
He rewrote them.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Third commandment,
that's
marshmallows
out of sight.
On Wednesday.
Yeah, TTN's Total Talk Nonsense, 10 commandments. We should come up with them.
Scott shall not lay with John. Commandment number one.
Thou shalt put in month, day, year.
Yeah. That was
so
pretty
saith
goddamn.
The Lord.
So
no.
saith Yoda.
Year, month, day.
Right.
Because you got
a year, month, day.
Biggish. Medium.
Little. It's only backwards.
You sound like Bob Hoskins when you do that.
You got to go... Yeah, did he say big, medium, little?
Huge.
Huge. Medium, little.
Little.
You got to do your venti in your tall, in your grande.
It's just like the time, hour, minute, second. So it's huge, medium, little.
It's backwards.
But it's backwards.
That makes perfect sense.
But you know what? That 4th of July comment certainly stymied me. I was like, ooh,
no.
Kind of got us there.
Just go look up how the 4th of July is represented on the Declaration of Independence by a bunch of British guys.
Well, yeah, July 4th, 1776.
That's right.
1776, yeah.
That's right. I don't say 4th of July. I say July 4th. It's the July 4th celebration.
I do say Cinco de Mayo. So, see, there's a problem. 5th of May.
Yeah, but they say
it should be
calendar.
Mayo de Cinco?
No, they say the calendar that way. That's one of the countries that does
that's
it.
Fucked up.
That's fucked up.
And that's why they have no economy.
Right. Hey, listen, man.
That's why they come over here and take our jobs.
Hey, we're the country of progression, okay? We cool
that's
our
funny.
Beer.
That's
we...
funny, John. Look at our White House. We're the country of progression. No gay marriage, no female president. Patriot Act,
but we have dentistry, and the UK does not,
and they still have a queen for fuck's sake.
That's right.
Yeah,
come on,
what's
up with
that?
Once Freddie Mercury died, they should have disbanded Queen.
I read today that
just
you write
right,
that,
you know,
did you just write that.
I just made that up. That's off the cuff.
I read today that Prince William is going to get engaged. Like that should even be in the goddamn news
to a guy.
Who cares? I don't care.
Yeah. Who fucking cares?
Wait, Septic how old is
wannabe.
He?
7.
Oh, okay. It's about time he got married.
Well, is that
bloody bastard.
Prince Harry is the good-looking one, right?
No. William is the handsome
William.
One.
There's a good-looking one?
Yes.
Yeah.
William
they all
is
look
handsome.
A little like they're what from West Virginia to me.
Harry looks kind of
you know,
allegedly like a pedophile.
Well, Harry looks kind of like Alfred E. Newman, only thinner.
Well, given his dad, it's a wonder he doesn't blow away on a windy day.
I'd like a taxi cab with the doors open.
I thought he looked natty in the Nazi uniform, John.
Natty.
Natty. Extremely, yes.
What are you
Prince
fucking?
William was born the 21st of June, 1982.
Scott doing his best Mr. Howell impression.
That was a very good Mr. Howell. Did you guys hear me?
Lovey.
Prince William was born June of 1982.
He was born, you said 21st?
21st.
21st. He was born, get this, John. He was born.
Always getting it from you.
12 days after I graduated high school.
Wow.
Wow.
Relax.
Wow.
Relax.
Whoa.
So shut up!
Wow.
What's the other one's name? Harry?
Harry.
Harry Paratestes.
Harry is the Nazi.
Have I mentioned I love Google? He was born the September 15th, 1984.
Whoa. Wow, so he's 24. He's 20.
Go ahead.
Don't do math, paper?
Let me do the math. 24.
Well, I got a story here.
I think
you,
it's
you guys
24.
Ready for this story?
24.
This is a story about Jesus, okay?
Yes, John Connor.
It's about Jesus.
He's 22.
Get this headline.
Jesus's?
No.
No.
Get this headline.
Yeah.
Jesus with erection ignites outrage.
What? So there's pictures of him in his loincloth with
Dude,
our,
it's a gardener named
with
Jesus.
The Woody?
Student newspaper publishes drawings in response to Muhammad cartoons. A Catholic activist organization has written to Oregon's governor and state lawmakers to protest the University of Oregon student newspaper for having published cartoons showing Jesus Christ naked and with an erection.
You know why you're shouting?
In its March issue, The Insurgent, an alternative student paper, John, printed 12 hand-drawn cartoons of Jesus as a response to rival paper, The Commentator, having published the controversial cartoons of Muhammad, originally published in Europe, that sparked Muslim riots worldwide.
Shut up.
William Donahue, the president of the Catholic League.
You say Donahue?
Donahue. That's what it says, Donahue.
He's the president of China.
He's been unresponsive to complaints about the drawing, so he had written to the governor, every state legislator, the chancellor of the Oregon University System, among others. He is upset, John. He says, the March edition of The Insurgent was one of the most obscene assaults of Christianity I've ever seen. To make sure that the persons I wrote to understand how vile this attack was,
how come we're
I
all
sent a photocopy of the two most offensive graphics. One was a depiction of a naked Jesus on a cross with an erection. The other, John, titled Resurrection, showed a naked Jesus kissing another naked man, both sporting erections.
Now, is this guy just really, really pro-Jesus or really, really anti-erection?
He is both.
I want to know
who... That's a tough place to play from, you know what I mean?
I'm wondering who won the erection. That's all I'm
You know what I got to tell you guys? I plan on doing something this year that Jesus Christ never did. I'm going to turn 34.
Whoa. Oh, yeah. Well, congratulations, Professor Tom.
Yeah. I pointed that to my wife who's Catholic. She was like, oh, geez.
Oh,
yeah, go tell
us.
My parents that joke.
Oh,
that'd
geez.
Be awesome.
Us.
That's fun. Put that on your birthday card.
So the whole purpose of this is the editorial indicates a desire to show Americans why the original cartoons were so offensive to the Muslim world.
Well, I think it's the difference between taking something that is universally awkward and something that is unique only to them. It'd be like saying, well, you eat beef in front of a vegetarian. That's like eating a human child on Easter. You know, to draw a man with an erection, any man, and put it in the paper is going to offend a large portion of the Christian society. However, the Muslims are objecting to just the picture of Muhammad. That's
yeah.
it. Just him on a park bench with a box of chocolates, and they're offended.
Yeah.
I think it's a little – it is a little – I mean, I can understand what they're trying to do, and I applaud them giving Jesus an erection. That's just fucking funny. But,
the context.
You know, I draw erections
but
on everything in the Bible.
Stupid is stupid does, Professor
That's what Muhammad
Tom.
Says. You know?
Right.
That's the words of Allah.
We're going to be blowed up.
Blown up, John.
This will be the first bombing attack on Cleveland in years. Since the War of 1812, I believe.
The Easter Bunny is going to blow us up.
The Jesus Bunny is what I'm calling
it. Jesus Bunny.
I try and combine on the Jesus Bunny. He goes around shitting chocolate eggs of salvation.
I talked about this before, this crazy, the evidence Bible and this crazy guy that does this stuff with shit.
He does shit? What's he do with shit?
Yeah.
I've seen that guy. He did an exhibit in New York.
I do stuff with shit.
That's great.
G.G. Allen does stuff with shit.
What the fuck is his name? We're talking
him
about
and Mapplethorpe. They're awesome.
Penn Jillette was talking about this, the knucklehead from Growing Pains.
Oh, Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron, yeah. And the banana. Have you seen that video?
Oh,
somebody
I love that.
Put a link on our forum, and I got through 10 minutes of it, and then it crashed for some reason.
Oh.
You didn't see the banana analogy?
I did get to see the banana analogy.
Okay, so then explain this to me.
Yes.
If bananas are clearly evidence of God,
yes.
Then I counter with the coconut. Fuck him.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, what could be harder to open and less obvious if there's something tasty inside?
Professor Tom, you're not getting it. Obviously, the coconut was not meant for consumption.
Right, it's put here by Satan.
Yes.
I also counter with cocaine, poppy seeds, and marijuana.
Satan's tools. Those are all tools of Satan, Professor Tom.
Speaking of tools, Kirk Cameron did those horrible, he made those horrible books and even more horrible movies, the Left Behind series.
Yeah.
Which is a brilliant idea for a series. I love the idea. Unfortunately, those two dudes couldn't write.
What is the Left Behind series?
It's revelations as told as though it actually happened. So I only got to book one and two. But you go through, so book one, the rapture happens. And you deal with it. So it's the survivors. They're left behind. Book two was the beginnings of the Antichrist. And it's a brilliant idea. If Stephen King had written it, it'd be fucking amazing. But these guys cannot write. Like, I mean, honestly, dangling participles cannot write. Misspellings cannot write. Unedited. I mean,
douchebags. Let's just say it like it is, John. Yeah. I mean, Professor Tom.
Right.
Douchebags cannot write.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they're not qualified to write. And so it pissed me off because I'd love to have someone actually do it.
Well, did you ever
justice.
See The Rapture?
That's a great movie.
With David Duchovny and
I did not. No.
Mimi Rogers. Check that out, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet.
It's a good movie.
Hey, you guys want to hear something? I got a news story about it's sort of on religion. It's a GOP. It's a Republican supervisor. Fred Gold sent an email with a photo of a topless woman promoting January 15th as Breast Appreciation Day. Now, I fully support Breast Appreciation Day. However, the email that accompanied the photo asked, because what's January 15th? Beats Martin Luther King Jr. Day, doesn't it?
Beats Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yes. Gold sent the email from his personal account and apologized if anyone who received it or saw it was offended. Quote, I certainly don't think that anything immoral or unethical happened, he said. Quote, to resign because of this? I don't think so.
How many people did he send it to?
He sent it to everyone on the mailing list.
Nice.
For his personal account, so he thought it was funny. So, yeah.
With our tax dollars.
With our tax. Well, from his personal account.
Computer. So, but it was with our. It was with a public computer, wasn't it? Was it with his own computer?
Oh, I don't know. But, either way, we paid his salary that bought the computer.
Douchebag. Well, this one here says, woman spanked at work awarded $1.7 million. Yeah. A saleswoman who was spanked in front of her coworkers as part of her employer, of what her employer said was a camaraderie-building exercise, will get $1.7 million in damages. A Fresno jury, yeah.
Was the guy who sold him that bill of goods wearing a straw hat and dancing to the music man?
Well, a Fresno jury agreed with Janet Orlando on Friday that she suffered sexual harassment and sexual battery during the paddlings overseen by the security alarm company she worked for before quitting 2 years ago. Jurors first awarded her $500,000 to compensate her for emotional distress, pain, suffering, past economic losses, and future medical costs. And then added $1.2 million in punitive damages.
Wait, future medical? What was she spanked with? Because I've spanked a lot of women.
I don't know.
I've never had future medical costs.
But employees were paddled with rival companies' yard signs as part of a contest that pitted sales teams against each other, according to court documents.
Bare ass, John?
I believe so. The winners.
Awesome.
The winners poked fun at the losers, throwing pies at them, feeding them baby food, making them wear diapers, and swatting their buttocks.
Yeah, I did a show about that.
Here's the quote here. I know.
It's a kinky camp is what that is. I've been there. It's a bondage camp in Northwest New Hampshire. It's awesome.
The quote says, no reasonable middle-aged woman would want to be put up there before a group of young men turned around to show her buttocks, get spanked and called abusive names and told it was to increase sales and motivate employees.
Well, I agree with that sentence in totality. I was disagreeing until they said to boost sales. Because I was like, wait, I know several middle-aged women that'll pay big bucks for the first half of that statement.
But lawyers for the alarm company said the spankings were part of a voluntary program to build camaraderie and were not discriminatory because they were given to both male and female workers. The quote says, this is being done for one reason and one reason only, money. That's
who got paid? Oh, the lawsuit.
The chick did.
Yeah.
So
hey, good on her. That increased her sales.
Yeah, they stopped doing it in 2004, the year that she sued this chick, Janet Orlando.
How many years have they done it before is the question. Like, how many years did they get away with that shit?
Right.
You know? Like, well, the first 35 years, nobody complained.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So spanking a chick in your office.
That's hot. Hey, did you hear Limbaugh got arrested?
Rush Limbaugh.
He got arrested.
Anybody got any Oxycontin?
Rush Limbaugh reached a settlement with prosecutors Friday in a fraud case involving prescription painkillers.
Yeah.
Though the conservative radio commentator maintains his innocence. Limbaugh, and this is what's funny.
Really? Bill O'Reilly both.
Yeah, this is what's funny about this. Limbaugh turned himself into authorities at 4 p.m. on a warrant for fraud to conceal information to obtain a prescription. The first charge in nearly the three-year-old case, said Terry Barbera, a spokeswoman for the state's attorney. He was released an hour later on only $3,000 bail. But this is the crazy kicker right here. If I could find the fucking thing, here it is. Prosecutors seized Limbaugh's records after learning that he received about 2,000 painkillers prescribed by four doctors in 6 months at a pharmacy.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, at a pharmacy near his Palm Beach mansion. They contended that Limbaugh engaged in doctor shopping or illegally deceived multiple doctors to receive overlapping prescriptions. Limbaugh acknowledged he became addicted to the pain medication, blaming it on severe back pain. But how could you take 2,000 fucking pills in 6 months?
Talent. Let's ask Elvis.
On loan from God, John.
Talent on loan from God, yes. Yeah. I think that his punishment should be everybody, every time somebody mentions his name, because I do this with Bill O'Reilly. I like, anytime I read it, like, pretend it's a Bill O'Reilly quote, I'd say, Bill O'Reilly, who enjoys pleasuring himself with a vibrator while talking dirty on the phone, said, quote, this case is an eye-opener. I think we should do the same thing with Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
You should say, Rush Limbaugh, who's an Oxycontin addict and a convicted drug dealer, said, quote, this case is an eye-opener, and that should be his punishment.
Yeah.
Just to forever have his name, because you know about Bill O'Reilly and the vibrator.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love to remind people of it.
The
every
vibrator.
Time he's on the air getting indignant, I just walk in the room
the
and
falafel.
Go,
falafel.
Hey, that's that jackass who likes to put a vibrator up his ass while he talks dirty to women.
Well, I never heard
What's
that
What's he saying about
it?
George? Oh, he settled out of court on that, yeah.
Yeah, but we never heard the vibrator up the ass part.
Oh, that was what he said to the girl. I'm using a vibrator on myself right now. What are you doing? Yeah.
But did he change sphincter? Ass?
Say what?
Is that
he described it as putting it up his ass. However, he might not have been doing it. That might have just been how he got off. Wasn't describing it. But he claims on the phone, allegedly, the lady said he described putting a vibrator up his ass
somebody
and tried to get her to do something sexual along with it.
Only recorded those calls, John.
She did.
Well, can we get a hold of
him?
You
know what? He cut off her mic.
Oh.
Bastard. It's all one-sided with O'Reilly.
He cut her mic off over
mic.
The phone. Yeah.
Shut up.
I'm going to go on his show just so I can point that out. I'll wear a t-shirt that says, I'm with the dildo guy and an arrow pointing to the left.
Just shut up.
Hey, if the Dice
shut
Man
up.
Can say fuck
you
on CNN,
up.
Why can't I do that?
Yeah, why not?
Hey,
no
I'll
doubt.
Go on the Factor.
No doubt.
You see...
You're
there's
an Indian man, Indian in New Delhi, who claims he found a condom in his Pepsi Cola.
Why not?
You shut up. No, you
bottle
shut up. You're trying to confuse.
He wants the court ordered the company to pay 100,000 rupees, which
you
is $2,200, and 20,000 rupees, which is $450, to the complainant. It
wow.
says, this case is an eye-opener. You want to do the accent?
What's that like?
This case is an eye-opener for others who are engaged in manufacturing soft drinks and are required to maintain the prescribed standards of purity in the public interest.
That's the three-panel judge. They have a three-judge panel in India.
You don't.
Pepsi denied negligence at the proceedings, saying the bottle was a fake.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how much is it? Like $5?
Well, the $2,200 was to a legal aid fund for consumers. So the $2,200 or 100,000 rupees doesn't even go to him. It goes to consumers.
Oh.
To 20,000 rupees, $450 goes to the complainant.
Wow.
And that's because his name is Sharma. He said he found dirt and contaminants in the bottle and suffered.
And he still
from insomnia,
drank it, or what?
Severe headache and stomach pain.
So he still
the condom
drank it
in the other unopened bottle.
That's stupid. If
no,
you
he
see,
drank
if
one,
you open the bottle, and there's a condom and dirt other. In it. It's like John the other night when he was eating a sausage that was green and gray.
Don't lie, you fucking guy.
And he still ate it.
She's
that's
lying
just
to you,
stupid.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Yes, she did. Don't lie, you fucking guy. Don't lie, you
she's
fucking
lying
guy.
To you, fucking guy.
I'm going to call the police.
I love that guy.
Fuck you. Just because I'm lucky does not mean I stink.
All right. So what do you got, Scott?
What do you got, John?
Is Phil coming tonight?
Yeah, I think he said he was going to be here.
Is he really? Are you sure?
Yeah. He told me he was. I don't know where he is now.
How come Scott always gets put in charge of Phil? I think that's kind of bullshit, you know?
It is bullshit.
Like nobody it's else bullshit. Ever takes care of Phil, make sure he shows up, you know?
Well, Scott's got to do something.
That's true.
Yeah. Good point, John.
Good point.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Oh, hold on. Let me get that.
All right. Are you taking a piss?
Sorry. No, I was getting water. I swear to God, I keep trying to cut off my mic. It's not working. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm right at the door.
The train wreck episode.
Well, I put carpeting down now.
Oh.
Episode okay. 51, part 5, point 5.
All right, I'm at the door.
Okay.
Open it.
All right.
This is Howard Cosell coming to you live.
Oh, hey, man. What's happening? There you go. Nice. Come on.
There's eight of him, and they're coming
right,
in.
We're getting back. Hey. Hold on. Phil's having trouble with the all door. Right. I think he finally got it closed. All right, here he comes. Hey, the carpeting is nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Can't even hear him
can't
walking
even hear his
anymore.
Footsteps anymore. That's oh, but he's still got to hear that crap.
What a pro! What a pro!
All right, Phil, calm down.
Jesus,
I think he's excited.
Relax, dude. Dude, relax.
Relax, man. All right, ready? Hello?
Well, of course. The levels, are they correct?
You got your headphones on?
Yes, I have my headphones on. Who is that cackling in the background?
For the emo kids.
Who is that voice I hear? Ah, yes, Professor Tom.
Hi, Phil.
How are you doing, Professor Tom?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I loved your one-on-one with the diaper person.
So
I listened
yeah,
to that
makeover.
Over and over again. Yes.
The diaper person.
Yes.
Politically correct Phil, always.
I try to be, John.
The gentleman of the diaper persuasion.
All right, ready?
Of course I'm ready. I'm always
right,
ready.
All right.
Your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John, and welcome to you, Professor Tom. And of course,
thank you, sir.
Thank you, Scott, for letting me in the door. Thank you.
What about me?
All right, I said thank you, John, right off the bat.
Oh, sorry.
I'm Phil McCracken Whitcomb with AKC Total Talk Nonsense. And our first story tonight, John. Did you hear the one about the Polish thief that ran right into the police station? A Polish shoplifter took a very wrong turn, John, towards Rome's police headquarters while fleeing a supermarket with two stolen bottles of alcohol. Hearing screams of "Stop thief!" heavily armed police just outside the building coolly grabbed the 19-year-old, the police spokesman said on Thursday. Stunned,
you are a meathead.
The crook immediately confessed and handed over the liquor. All right, I'm going to have to do a Polish accent now. I wasn't prepared for that, but I'll give it a try. Yes, I stole the bottles. All right, next story. I'll just skip the rest of that. Next story, John. Scientists look to a day when your very thoughts will replace...
Sorry.
All right, then. Next story, John. Scientists... Scientists look to the day when your very thoughts will replace typing a password. In other news, all your passwords will be boobies, sex, hump, butt, girls, sex, cock. Next story, John. Dachshund survives snake attack. We'll get back to attempting to climb stairs with a boner soon. A dachshund had a run-in with a poisonous snake that left the pet with a fang embedded in its head. The dog was bitten over the weekend in Broward County, possibly by a water moccasin. The dachshund is being treated at the Cooper City Animal Clinic. The dog is expected to make a full recovery. Next story, John. New survey shows 1 in 5 employees admit to making up excuses for being late to work. I would have submitted this earlier, but my monkey died of lung cancer. Next story, John. Latest in a sad trend. Cindy Margolis to pose for Playboy 10 years too late. Known as the most downloaded woman on the internet as a follow-up at her celebrity cook showdown with a career first, posing nude for Playboy. The mother of three told the Associated Press she finally agreed to pose for the magazine when they called her on her 40th birthday. Thank goodness for Desperate Housewives. You're not dead just because you're married and have children, the actress and model said Monday. After turning down offers to pose for the magazine in the past, Margolis said she accepted this time because she felt posing nude at age 40 is empowering. In the past, it would have been gratuitous for gratuitous reasons, John. Next story.
She just learned that word.
Norwegian becomes first woman to climb the highest mountains on 7 continents and ski to both the North and South Poles.
Is that her name?
She probably has nipples that can cut glass, John. Next story. People in Nottingham urged to hug a total stranger for 15 minutes. City's group hug in the name of art. People in Nottingham are being invited to hug a total stranger all in the name of art. Renowned Chinese artist and Gao will stage their first British World Hug Day performance in the city's Arboretum on Sunday. Participants will be instructed to hug a stranger for 15 minutes before embarking on a group hug accompanied by music from composer J.S. Bach. The brothers said it would be the first mass hugging event staged in Britain. Next story, John.
Now, Phil, correct me if I'm wrong, but Punky is in Nottingham.
That is correct. That's why I pulled this story, Professor Tom. Very astute of you.
Mugazik.
Mugazik. Next story. Vodka martini, loose women, and Baccarat, your game. You're in luck. MI6 is now accepting applications. License to kill sold separately. Is it M16 or MI6? Anybody?
MI6.
MI6. Yeah. Is United Kingdom's Foreign Affairs spy branch. Would otherwise, be James Bond, watch out.
It'd be M16.
Britain MI6 wants you. For the first time in Hitlery.
Crikey.
Britain's Secret Service is advertising in the newspapers.
First time in Hitlery.
The Secret Intelligence Service, the SIS. Placed adverts in a number of papers on Thursday for people we can depend on. Under a under a montage of photographs of exotic locations, an aeroplane and a balaclava-clad man holding a machine gun, the ad read, "We operate around the world to make this country safer and more prosperous." Next story, John. If you try to pass crush victims... this is my last story. If you try to pass crush vitamins off as methamphetamine, be warned. True meth addicts will know the difference, and some of them have baseball bats. A man was beaten for allegedly selling vitamins as meth. Helena police have arrested 3 men in connection with a drug deal gone bad. According to court documents, Curtis James Alexander and a bunch of other a-holes robbed and assaulted a Helena man recently after allegedly sold them crush vitamins instead of methamphetamine. Law enforcement officers began investigating the case in April after receiving a report that 4 men were beating up another man near the residence in North Warren. When officers arrived, they found the victim who said he had been hit in the head with what he believed to be a baseball bat. The blow caused him to fall to the ground, at which point his attackers punched and kicked him. The man added they took $200 out of his wallet he kept in his pocket. Despite the man's injuries, police officers thought he was not being particularly cooperative with their investigation, prompting them to press on his head a little bit harder. According to state police reports, the victim of the case eventually admitted that he was contracted by the man who wanted to purchase a quarter gram of methamphetamine. Apparently, the victim agreed to the deal, but since he was annoyed by the man's persistence in making the deal, he swapped the crushed vitamins for the methamphetamine. And that the last story tonight, John.
All right. All right, thanks, Phil, for stopping by for our special announcement podcast.
Ad hoc.
Ad hoc.
Ad hoc.
Whatever the fuck you call
it. He already left. He's already up the stairs.
Oh, okay.
Wow, man, with the carpeting, he's like a ninja. That feels a nut.
Holy shit.
I think he finally got it.
So who do you think Paulie B's going to hug?
In Nottingham?
In Nottingham.
Nottingham?
Nottingham.
In Nottingham.
No, a chef.
If I were Paulie B, I'd hug that Joe. That's who I'd hug.
Oh, the one that says cunt? That's
yeah,
hot.
No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I like a girl who knows how to say cunt. That's
somebody hot. Counted you the times of cunt. She said cunt. Was it 17?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
It was in the teens. 14, 17, yeah. Something like that.
It was a hell of an effort.
That's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Oh, you know what we haven't discussed is the decider.
The decider.
Right.
The decider.
I'm the decider, Professor Tom. I'll decide if we discuss the decider.
I decidificate. He's the president. He decides.
Mr. President, you made it a practice of not commenting on potential personnel moves.
Of course I did.
Calling it speculation.
You can understand why. Because we got people's reputations at stake. And on Friday, I stood up and said, I don't appreciate the speculation about Don Rumsfeld. He's doing a fine job. I strongly support him.
But what do you say to critics who believe that you're ignoring the advice of retired generals, military commanders, who say that there needs to be a change?
I say I listen to all voices. But mine's the final decision. And Don Rumsfeld is doing a fine job. He's not only transforming the military, he's fighting a war on terror. He's helping us fight a war on terror. I have strong confidence in Don Rumsfeld. I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best. And what's best.
I don't make
God, he's retarded.
Train him.
The troubling part of that
monkeys.
Is he hears I voices. I hear the voices.
Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
You know, here's the problem. The fucker traded Sammy Sosa,
Mr.
but he won't trade Donald
Rumsfeld. Not commenting on.
Oops. Started playing
when
again.
He owned the Texas Rangers, he traded Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
I'll never forgive him for that. That alone. That's
yeah.
it. 2,200 Americans dead, 200,000 Iraqis. I don't care. You traded Sammy Sosa. You're a bad leader.
I don't make monkeys. I just trade them.
Nice.
Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
I'm trying to use the phone!
All right, let's get out of here, man.
All right,
We got to go.
Got to go. Big gig tomorrow, John.
Yeah.
Let's thank for Professor Tom for joining us this evening.
For Professor
thanks,
Tom.
Thanks for having me.
From sometime, somewhere outside of Cleveland.
So in an undisclosed bunker.
Over the rainbow.
Way is that your brother is impression? I'm being serenaded by the castrati.
Robin one out, cocking an in John's face. You creamy donut eater. All right, we're out of here. Thanks for joining us for this special
ad hoc
podcast.
Oh, well, let's talk about it now. In the next podcast, we don't even know when that's going to happen.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday?
I'm back, man.
I'll be back, but I will not. My wife will not be back. I'll have to talk the in-laws into watching the kids. So I'll get to work on that right now. John?
Hold on a second. Almost done. Oh. Okay.
Wow, that was fast.
It was quick, yeah.
Whoa, dude. I've got boobs.
All right.
What the hell's that from?
I don't know. All right, we're out of here, man. AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're gone.
Say bye, Professor Tom.
Goodbye, Professor Tom.